city to go, he faced opposition. He encountered these rulers over the surrounding areas. They did not like the fact that he was in town. They didn't like the fact that he was encroaching on their territory. They had ruled that area. And here comes this other guy coming in, trying to rebuild the walls of this place, of the city Jerusalem. They did not want his plans to succeed. But remember, they weren't Nehemiah's plans. They were God's plans. And today, what I want to talk about is that work that Nehemiah had to do, that work that he had to oversee. So if you want to be ready in your scriptures, we are going to be going to Nehemiah 3 and 4. Those are going to be our principal texts. We're going to jump around scripture-wise like we usually do, but that's what we're focusing on, is the actual building. You know, after a time of being called out by God in your life, and potentially after a time of opposition or deciding what to do and things are happening all around you, you got to get down to the work, okay? The rubber hits the road. You got to start working. There's a time for planning and preparing and for listening and hearing and receiving from God, and now you need to give at some point. And this is where Nehemiah was. There's a saying that says anything worthwhile requires hard work. There's another saying that says nothing is for free. And this was surely the case here. You know, it never makes me feel good when I hear things like nothing is for free and anything worthwhile requires hard work when I have to start a project. Because I'm setting myself up for knowing this is not going to be easy. But anything worthwhile is going to require something of effort on your part. And it is most likely going to mean someone is going to oppose you. Someone is going to say, no, you're wrong. Or, no, you can't do it. You're too weak. You're too small. Like David. David was too small, too ruddy. But he was a mighty warrior for God, whereas Saul was a head taller than everybody. David was the one after God's own heart. So things sometimes don't come easy. In fact, most times they don't come easy when we're trying to do the building, when we're trying to work out what God has given us in our lives. But most times when God calls us to something, it's not easy, it's not fun, and we don't always get a pat on the back, but we have to keep going through it. And there is light on the other side. But today there's three things I want to show you out of this text, out of Nehemiah 3 and 4, about this building, about getting to work after you face the opposition, getting to work after you've been kind of beat down a little bit, getting to work after you know the calling is there, but you're just not sure if you have the strength to do it, right? There's three things I want you to remember. Number one, if God has given you a vision or a calling in your life, and this is about anything. This is about a job prospect. This is about a relationship you're entering into. This is about a ministry that you're thinking about, that God, you're feeling that God is calling you in. If God is giving you a vision or a calling, you need to be faithful in doing it. And the key word there is faithful. This sounds like a no-brainer, but many times when the going gets tough, you know, we hear the voice of the Lord, we're ready to go, we're all charged up, we're all prayed up, and then, opposition happens and we kind of lose heart, don't we? When the going gets tough, sometimes the workers get going, usually in the other direction, right? Oh, I'm out of here. That doesn't feel good, right? How many times have we started something but not finished it in our lives? Think about your life. Has anyone ever made a New Year's resolution and then broken it like 2 days later? Maybe it didn't even take 2 days for you. Maybe it was a matter of hours. Some people can do it. I've never been able to really keep those all year. But, you know, it's tough. When the going gets tough, sometimes we tend to get going in the other direction. But we need to be faithful, faithful in that calling. Be faithful in doing that work. The definition of faithful is a strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. Strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:9, first scripture of the day. Proverbs 18:9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Proverbs, great words of wisdom, practical words of wisdom for us out of Proverbs. Don't just stand back or sit back when you're given something from the Lord and expect to be spoon-fed by the Lord. Don't expect it, because that's not how God operates. God wants you to move ahead. God wants you to step out into the darkness sometimes. God wants you to go in that valley where it's pretty dark and there's shadows all around. God wants you to step out. It's an act of faith. Faith is believing without seeing. It wouldn't be faith if it was so easy and all you got to do is step and, oh, there's the next step, there's the next step. That's not faith. It's just walking. But faith is being faithful when it gets difficult, when it feels like you want to give up or you want to go run in the other direction. Don't just sit back and expect to be spoon-fed, whether it's in your spiritual walk with the Lord or whether it's a work that he gives you to do. Proverbs 16:3. Let's read another verse out of Proverbs. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Someone is giving me an amen back there. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. We are told that we need to imitate God, and we need to be like God, right? You hear that all the time. We're told that we need to imitate God. Yeshua is our example, obviously. And if we're told that we need to imitate God and we believe it, we need to read Psalm 119:90, which says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You, this is God, obviously, have established the earth and it stands fast. Now, if we're supposed to imitate our Creator, we're supposed to imitate our Redeemer, and his faithfulness endures all generations, can we not be faithful throughout our generation on this earth? Can we not try to be faithful to God and his calling to us? We need to be faithful, even when it doesn't feel like being, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. Faithfulness is so important that it is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians 5, chapter 22, or verse 22, 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we should be as believers, right? The Spirit of God is in us. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is in there. We got to stick to things. If God's called you to something, don't lose heart when it gets tough. You should be rejoicing because you know what? Because it's getting tough, it's all the more knowledge that God has called you to it because, hey, Rabbi told me when opposition is going to happen when I get into something. It's not going to be easy. We have to know this. We can read any one of the biblical characters in the Bible. I don't have time to go through it. You read any one of the biblical characters and you can see the opposition they faced. It was not easy for Moses. Remember that guy Pharaoh that tried to oppose Moses? It was not easy for Joshua. It was not easy for any of the prophets. They had a pretty hard time. But they needed to be faithful like our God is faithful, no matter how tough it gets. Psalm 18:6. This is a great scripture for us today. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. We don't do enough crying out to God in our spiritual lives. We don't. And God wants us to not just sit back, hang out, or everything to go great in our lives. Sometimes God shakes things up in our lives so that we kind of get out of our comfort zone and we cry out to God. Because by crying out to him, we're telling him we need him. You tell him you need him when you cry out to him. If you don't cry out to him, what's he going to think? Oh, you're doing fine by yourself. You don't need me. But when we cry out to the Lord, when we seek him in his temple, he listens. Our cries reach his ears. We have to cling to scriptures like this because this is a promise for us that we can. It's tough to be faithful, but we have that option to cry out to God. Sometimes we're tired. Some of you are tired today. Some of you are hurt today. Some of you need to claim this verse, this Psalm 18:6 verse, to cry out and call upon the Lord. He is not going to shut his ears to you if you cry out to him. He's going to listen because he loves us. He's our Father. He is a righteous Father. He's a good Father. He's a redeeming Father. And he wants us to just whisper out to him and he's going to grab us. That's what he's waiting for. But by crying out to God, it's telling him your heart is seeking him. It's telling him that you need him in your life, that you want him in your life. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Now stop right there. It doesn't say some of the time. It doesn't say just when things are going great or just when things are going bad. It says he will answer always. He always is there for answer. Anyone who asks receives. Not just the people that have only done a few little bad things in their lives. No, it's you too. Because you and I, we've done some bad things in our lives. But he's still going to hear the knock when you knock on the door. He's still going to hear you when you ask for him and when you cry out to him. Verse 9 of Matthew 7. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That is a blessing today for us. We who plot evil in our hearts, who think of ways to be devious in our walk and mess up and fall down all the time, if we can take care of our children and give them bread and fish instead of stones, how much more is he, the righteous Father, going to give us wonderful things, going to open his heart out to us and open his hands out to us when we call upon his name? But we got to cry out to him in our distress. We got to cry out to him when we can't go on after the opposition comes and we got to rebuild these walls. We got to cry out to him. You can't just do it on your own. It's not like, okay, God gives you the calling, you get like filled up at the gas tank, and then you're ready to go. But you know, there's gas tanks all along the way. You're not just going to, you know, lose all the gas somewhere, you know, 50 miles from here. There's more fill-up stations everywhere. You just got to cry out to God. He'll fill you up. Cry out to God. He'll fill you up again. It's real simple. This is how it works. Because it's not our strength. Our strength will fail us. It's his strength. Isaiah 40:31. This is an awesome scripture about that. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Look, we get weary and we faint. But he's going to make us have strength again. He's going to fill us up at that next station. All you got to do is keep walking. All you got to do is keep being faithful. And he's going to fill your tank up. You got to keep going, though. You can't stop. If God's given you a vision, if God's given you a calling, you got to keep walking. And he's going to meet you on the way. Nehemiah chapter 3, let's go there. Nehemiah 3, 1 through 2. Then Elishib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur the son of Imri built. This is the second point I want to make today. Number one is to be faithful what God has called you in what God has called you. But number two is success comes as a team. It's a team effort. It's a team approach. Okay? This is the game of basketball. This isn't, you know, individual swimming or whatever. You're not Michael Phelps all the time. You need to be with a team. The team gets the work done. This is what happened in Nehemiah. It wasn't just Nehemiah. It was a team of people around him, working with him, side by side. It was Elishib the high priest at the sheep gate. It was this person over here. And you can read through the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm not going to go through it today, but I encourage you to go read it. You're going to read name after name after name that did their part. Everybody pitched in. Success comes as a team. Each group or family did their portion to get the wall built. Each person was critical to the success of the project. If any one person did bad work, what would happen? The entire wall would be rendered ineffective. The wall is there to keep the bad guys out, right? That's what the wall is for. Protection. If the wall is great 95% of the way around, and then that one 5% is breached, or it's not built right, or it's weak, or it's compromised in some way, the entire wall is compromised. How long do you think it's going to take the bad guys to find that breach? Not very long. We've got to build up all the sections. That requires everybody doing their part of building up the wall. I can't build the whole wall. You can't build the whole wall, but we can build it together. We can all build it together. But we can't let any part get compromised. We can apply this to our lives, right? We have the walls of our spiritual lives individually. But then there's also the wall of our congregation. There's also the wall of the body of Messiah. Or any institution or congregation or entity that wants to be effective, that wants to be strong, must function as a team, not as individuals. We are individually responsible for our parts of the body of Messiah. You know, that's why it's called the body, right? You ever wonder why it's called the body of Messiah? I've talked about this before, but Yeshua is the head of the body. You know, the head controls everything. The brain controls it all. The mind telling me to do this right now or to do this right now. You know, that's what my brain is doing. Yeshua is doing that. But then we're the body. You may be a finger. You may be a leg. You may be a foot. Whatever you are. I don't know what you are. I don't know what I am. But, I mean, we know what we are, but I don't know if I'm a finger or what. Some days I feel like an armpit. Some days I feel like an arm. I don't know. But you know, no matter what we are, we're all part of the body. And we all have a part to play. And when one part of the body is weak, when one part of the body is sick, spiritually, physically, whatever, the body's sick, right? I'm sick right now because I got a part of my body that's a little weak. So it's compromised. So I got to take care of myself, right? I got to rebuild my walls physically. I got to rebuild my walls, take some time and rest, get some sleep or whatever I have to do to rebuild. This is what happens when the body is sick. In one spot, the body is sick overall. And we each have a part to play. And you know what? No part of the body is greater than the other. Because if even a small little part of the body gets sick, we all get sick. We all get sick and the whole body is sick. That is the truth. You know, as Karen Orr, as a local body, our congregation is sometimes, you know, it's like this living organism. It's an entity, right? It's this living thing. It's not a static thing. You know, a congregation or a synagogue is not the structure. The synagogue, the ecclesia, is you and I. That's what we are. We are the body. We are the congregation. It doesn't matter if we meet here or we meet downtown Savannah somewhere or over here, wherever we meet, we're meeting together as the ecclesia. That's the entity we're talking about. And our entity needs to be strong. We can't have holes in the walls. You know what I mean? We can't have somebody hurting. We can't have somebody in pain. That's why when somebody's sick, we pray for them. That's why when somebody is having a hard time, we encourage or counsel them. That's what we do. And it's not just my job to do that. It's your job to do that too. It's your job to encourage each other. Go and talk to people. Encourage, build people up. Share scriptures with people. Pray for people, obviously. But, you know, as an entity, as a congregation, we need to work together. And when we don't work together, things happen. Splits happen. I've seen so many splits in congregations over my 25 years in being in the Messianic movement. And many of you have seen it in churches or places you've been. And, you know, forget about it in traditional Judaism. They don't split. They just sit around and argue about each other all the time in congregations, you know. So maybe they're smarter, but I don't know. But, you know, we all need to give our effort. We all need to give our part. What is your part? Your part could be cleaning the toilets. Your part could be doing the kitchen. Your part could be doing the sound booth or the music or teaching. I don't know. God has called you to something. And just because you're in the kitchen ministry doesn't mean you're any greater or less than the greeters, because that's the part that God has given you. And maybe he's given that to you as a season, and next season you'll do something else. But be faithful to what God has called you to. And remember, it is going to be successful if we work together and not against each other. If we work together and build each other up and encourage each other and pray for each other and help each other, take meals to each other. You know, those things that we do. We need to continue to do that. As a leader like Nehemiah, I can go around just because of the position I have, and I can see a lot of breaches and walls. Maybe you can't see them all. So you could see some, but I can see things. And so I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. I'm praying that somebody would do this, or I'm encouraging somebody here. But there's problems everywhere, but we need to continue to build each other up and help each other. Somebody falls over, pick them up, put the tool back in their hand, and say, come on, this is your section right here. You can do it. Be faithful. Encourage them. We all have a part to play. I'll do my part, you do yours, and we'll have a wonderful, strengthened wall and congregation here at Karen Orr. And this third part I want to get to today, the third and final point, being faithful, working together to build that wall. Sometimes we need to adjust the way we get the wall built. And this is really interesting. I want to read to you. Let's look together. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 20. Nehemiah did just go in there and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it, folks. You know, we're going to just do that. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. Things happened. Opposition happened. I don't know. Maybe it was hotter there than he thought and he had to do some other things. Who knows what it was? But he had to adjust as things happened. Nehemiah 4, 15 through 20. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan. Now, let me stop right there. Opposition happens. Then, you know, God does something, and it's like, yay, we won, victory, let's go keep building the wall. Well, no, they're just going to go back, lick their wounds, and find another way to breach the wall, right? The enemies of God, the enemy, the devil, is like a prowling, stalking lion out there. He's ready to do war, and we have to understand that, and we have to be ready for when he comes back, okay? We have to be ready, and we have to have that wall, but we also have to be ready to do what Nehemiah did. Because you know what? They're going to return. The problems are going to return. When my enemies had heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned back to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half my servants worked in construction, and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. That's not mail like mail, young people. That's like armor. Okay? And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon in the other. Can you imagine the scene? Verse 18, and each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from each other, from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Pretty powerful scriptures there. And there's a lot jam-packed in there. The opposition forced Nehemiah to think differently, didn't it? He had to think differently. He had to maneuver. He had to think and strategize differently. He couldn't just do it the way he had sketched it out in his little notebook back over in Persia. Oh, we're gonna go into town, we're gonna do this, and we'll be done by lunchtime, we can go hang out, you know, we can go to the deli, you know. It wasn't like that at all. He had to adjust, he had to change. The plans changed. He changed up his strategy, his methods, his utilization of resources. He never changed his plan though. His plan was always to rebuild the wall. Why? Because that's the plan God gave him. He didn't change the plan. He didn't say, opposition's too big. Let's not build a wall. Let's build this over here. Let's build the tower. Or let's build this over here. Let's build some major weapons first. No, he kept building the wall. He kept the task that God had him. But he utilized the resources he had differently in order to rise to the challenge. He never changed the overall plan. Philippians 1, 9. And it is my prayer, this is Shaul, Rob Shaul, the Apostle Paul, talking to the Philippians. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. And I want you to key in on that word discernment. Why did he use that word discernment? What, maybe he should have said something like knowledge and all love, knowledge and all joy. No, he said discernment. And there's a reason. Our life as a believer is not going to have the same challenges and issues it does today that it will tomorrow. There's different things that rise up against us. God will always allow them to be defeated, but we have to adjust tactically, strategically, so that we can accomplish the task that God has given us. And we need to have this thing called discernment. You know, the book of Proverbs, which we quoted from earlier, is all about wisdom and discernment. You want to be discerning? Read Proverbs. It really gives you some practical, believing, godly insights of how to live your life. But Yeshua was praying that they would have discernment. Why? Because things change, things happen, and they have to be ready. They have to adjust. They have to be willing to change up methods when it doesn't work. He was praying for their discernment. We need to pray for each other's discernment and wisdom in this congregation. Because you know what? You can't reach all people the same way. You can't reach people today one way and tomorrow the same way. Sometimes you have to change it up. We can't just operate like robots. We can't just go through the motions. We have to be changing with the times. I'm not saying to change our beliefs or principles, though, so don't get me wrong. But we need to be willing to look at other means and ways to fulfill the calling that God has in our lives. I'll give you an example. You know, I've been a believer for 20-something years. I knew God had a plan for my life, just like He has a plan for every believer's life. I would go through my life and serve the Lord faithfully and do the things that He called me to. Well, I had a set of plans in my life, and it didn't work out that way. I had an idea that I would, you know, get married, and I'd do this, and I'd have this accomplished, and I had this accomplished, and I had this accomplished. Well, a lot of that stuff didn't work out. I had to change up things. It wasn't that God said, oh, you know, all your ways were bad. It was that He was showing me a different way. He was weaving through things. I had to adapt and change. Honestly speaking, when God called me into ministry, I thought He was going to call me into ministry at such and such place. Didn't expect Him to call me to Savannah. It's not that Savannah's bad or Savannah's wasn't my first choice, because it wasn't. But it was where God called me, and I had to be willing. God called me to ministry, and then I had to adapt and change. I had to adapt and change when God showed me the next step. Is God showing you a new step today, and are you having to say, I can't do things the way I did it before. I have to change things up a little bit. I have to think through things a little differently. God showed me this. Maybe I need to just turn a little bit this way, because I've been going down this path so long in my life thinking this was the way. And God is trying to, you know, first God does it with a little tap on the shoulder. Hey, listen, I don't want you going over there. But we don't usually listen, right? Because I know I don't. I'm pretty stubborn. Then God kind of like puts His hand on me, like, Jude, you're going the wrong way. I'm like, I got this, God. I know I'm going. I'm right over here. This is where I'm going, right here. This is where I'm going to serve you. And then He has to really shake you up sometimes to show you that's not the way. It's over there. Let's not be so stubborn to wait until He's like screaming at us, right? Let's wait. Let's have the whisper of God guide us in our lives. I pray that for all of you, you would have that discernment to listen to that still small voice when He's saying, go in that direction. Don't go there anymore. You have to be willing to listen to Him, because it's one thing to get the call and then you just go out like a bull in a china shop, but it doesn't end there. It's a process and it's a journey. Bobby talked about journey. You're on a journey of discernment and wisdom and seeking God every step of the way. And some days God may say, get off the train and go over here. Why? That doesn't make any sense. Just go over there. And then we say, oh, that's why you had me go over there. Didn't realize it at the time, because I'm not you, God. But we have to change things up sometimes. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, should be our guide. And the Philippians knew that Shaul was telling them they need to be discerning. They need to have wisdom. They need to approach situations that are going to come up differently. The landscape's going to change. God never changes. Listen, the battle and the victory is God's. But we just need to get on board to what He's doing. We need to get on board on that car, so that we can go through the journey of life and get filled up at those stations. But you don't want to miss the car. You don't want to miss the car. You don't want to get on the wrong car or the wrong train. Make sure you get on God's. Nehemiah did. He got on God's car. God said, okay. You know, I'm sure Nehemiah spent some nights saying, what is going on here? I came all the way from Persia. It was really comfortable over there. You gave me this calling. I left everything, God, and now I got problems. What's going on? God is in the process of trying to change us and refine us. You need to let Him. You need to let Him in, okay? And you need to let go of things more and more. It's not easy. You're going to mess up. Guess what? Because I mess up. So I'm telling you, you're going to mess up too, because last time I checked, I was a human being and you were too. You know, we're not robots. We don't operate in a vacuum, okay? We need to be faithful. God's called you to something. I know it. It could be something small. It could be just something like being a son or a daughter to somebody and showing them the love of the Lord. It could be something great like being a CEO of a company or being a missionary or being a doctor and you're going to heal people. It could be that. Or it could be something in between. Who knows? But whatever it is, it's what God has called you to. Be faithful in that calling. You need to work with people. You need to get a team together. God will bring you the pieces. Nehemiah was just one person that went to the land, but God had people ready. Don't you think God spoke to this person over here and this person over here and they were ready? God doesn't just let Nehemiah come in the land and like, okay, now I need to be like a salesman. Okay, hey, you over here, I got a great thing. It doesn't pay much, but you can come and rebuild this wall and I guarantee you, oh, wait a minute, there is going to be problems. People are going to hurt you. People were ready. People listened to God, I believe. People were ready. He had the people there, and that team worked together to accomplish the task. Just like we're here as a team to accomplish the task of reaching people with the good news of Yeshua, the Messiah, both Jew and non-Jew in this area. And the last thing is, as we go about this thing, as we go through this journey, we need to be able to be teachable, I think is the word we need to use. You know, we need to be teachable. God is showing us things every day. And a lot of times he's whispering and you can't hear it because you're shouting. Because you're going through life shouting about how great you are or how you got to do this or how many problems you have. Whatever you're shouting about, stop shouting. Okay? I shout too much. You shout too much. We need to be listening because God is going to whisper things to you today. But you just have to be ready. You just have to listen. You got to be still and you got to listen. Nehemiah stopped when all this mishigas was happening. And he said, what do I do? I was just reading in my daily Bible reading. It was 1 Chronicles. And I love when David is king and he's going into battle. What does he do? He doesn't be just like, well, look, we are God's army. Let's go take care of business. He says, should I go up against the Philistines? He's talking to God. The mighty King David. You know, the head of God's army, basically, there. What do I do now? He's asking God what to do. I can just see Nehemiah. What do I do now? Should I go do this? Should I go do this? I mean, he thought for himself, just like David did. And you know what God said? David, go. I'm with you. And he said, Nehemiah, go. I'm with you. Go pick up the spear. Go pick up the tool in one hand and the sword in the other. I'm with you. We're going to get it done. I'm with you. You need to listen to that today. You need to hear that God is with you today when things are going bad, when things are not going right. Because you know what? Just around the corner is deliverance. Just around the corner is that next person that's going to come up and hold your hand through things. Just around the corner is going to be healing. Just around the corner is the next thing that God has for you in the journey of your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. God of Israel, you're a mighty God. Lord, even though I'm sick today, I know you're strong. I'm going to tap into your strength today, Lord God. Even though, Lord God, there's breaches in the walls all around us, Lord, you're the one that heals. You're the one that puts our strength back in our body so we can pick up the stones. You don't just build the wall in front of us, Lord. You ask us to get up and do it. But Lord, you're going to give us the strength. We're going to soar on wings like eagles. You're just not going to say, okay, take 2 tablets and call me in the morning. Lord, you're going to pick us up. Sometimes, Lord, you need to pick us up and hold on to us because we're going to fall over. But sometimes, Lord, all you got to do is say, get up, and we get up and we get going again. Whatever our situation is, Lord, today, each and every one of us, whether we need a little bit of a nudge or whether we need to be picked up and carried for a mile or two, Lord, I pray that you touch hearts right now. I pray that you speak to people, Lord God. Encourage them, Lord. They need to be faithful in what you called them to. Encourage them that they can't walk this walk alone. They need friends. They need people to come alongside them and encourage them. You work through people, Lord. And also, Lord God, help us to remember that we need to be discerning of the times. We need to have wisdom that comes from you, Lord, and that sometimes we need to change things up. When things aren't going so well, you may want us to just go right straight through it, or you may say, go around the corner, go around it. We just have to listen, Lord, because it's a journey. It's not a straight line. It's sometimes a zigzag. But Lord, may we zigzag with you Lord, I pray that every step of the way, may we take the next step because you're sharing with us, go that way. Go that way. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage everybody here today, if there's something in your life that you need a touch about, if you're feeling like, I can't go on, I've been faithful so long, but I'm tired. Or I've been faithful so long, I'm hurt. And maybe, if you're one of those people that have been being nudged by God, and you see it, but you really haven't accepted Him, or you haven't surrendered to Him and accepted Yeshua, maybe that's you today. But whatever your burdens are, whatever the things are, if you need a special touch, I'm going to ask people to come up and to stand right up here, and we're going to anoint you with oil. If you need a touch today, come on right up. Come right up here. We're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray over you. Because you know what? People have got issues. People have got problems. People have got sickness, and we need a touch. So if you feel prompted by the Lord, if you need an extra special touch, if it's been hard to be faithful this week, if it's been difficult to zigzag with God or whatever, and you need a special touch, just come on up right now. Come on up right now and get a touch from the Lord. There's no special power in my hands. It's all the Lord. But we need to ask God to just fill us up. If you need a fill up today, if it's been too long since you got a fill up, today's the day. You need to get filled up. Don't wait. Don't wait for the person next to you. Just come on up. The Lord wants us to get healthy because there's work to do. The Lord wants us to have our hands lifted up because there's a lot of work to do for His kingdom. And there's very few workers the last time I checked. But we need to strengthen each other today. And we need to tap into the giver of our strength. So, Lord, I just pray right now as we're going to anoint these people, Lord. I just pray for a special touch, Lord, for each and every person that's come up here. Lord, that you would work in their lives, Lord God. That you would touch them in a special way. Anoint them, Lord God, to do the things you've called them to. Maybe they don't even know those things yet, Lord. Maybe they're trying to figure it out. Maybe they've known for a long time and they've been fighting it. Whatever it is, you've called them to something special that only they can do. And you're waiting, Lord God, until they reach out to you. So today is the day to reach out. Today's the day to ask. Today's the day to seek. Today's the day to knock. And you know what? You don't have to bang very loud because He's going to hear you. He's going to hear you right now. But you need to touch and reach out to Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask right now that you would touch hearts, that you would change hearts, Lord God, that you would open eyes, that you would heal. There is nothing we can do apart from you. Isaiah says we're like filthy rags. And Lord, I am so aware of my filthiness. And I know everyone here is too, Lord. But Lord, you make us white as snow, like newly driven snow. There's nothing else in this world that can do that. There's no drug or no alcohol. There's no mountain climbing high. There's no amount of money. There's no material thing. And there's no human love that can give us that. Only you. Only the rock of our salvation, Yeshua, our Messiah. Lord, we call out to you as a congregation. And we pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen the walls of Karen Orr, that you would strengthen the walls of each and every one of us in our lives so that we can do your work here in this area, Lord God. You have called us here. You are faithful and you are true. That is your name. Lord, and I just pray for as we get ready, we're getting ready for the high holidays in a few weeks, Lord God. We're coming out of so much stuff this summer, Lord God. So much crud in our lives. I pray for a refreshing. I pray for a newness, Lord God. I pray for a new day where you would encourage us, give us strength so we can get out there in the journey, Lord God, and work for you, Lord. And I pray for that joy and that peace that goes past all understanding. Fill us up. Fill us up today, Lord God, as only you can. Nothing else can fill us but you. by the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. We thank you, God. We trust you, and we commit our lives. We commit our ministries. We commit our families and everything about ourselves, Lord. Everything of us. We commit it to you today. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.